Well, welcome to the Orange Kids Podcast, where we talk about the big ideas of kids ministry and discuss the practical solutions to our week-to-week challenges. My name is Gina McClain, and I am here with my close friends, Kellen.
Hello, Gina.
How are you today?
I'm doing great.
You look good.
Thank you.
No one else can see you, but I can. We've also got Mike Clear here with us today. Mike, how are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm good.
Awesome.
I kind of got that radio DJ kind of voice thing happening right now. Is that?
It's a soothing voice.
Is it soothing? You like that?
You're listening to 99.7 OK Podcast with Gina McClain.
That's more soothing. I'm not really sure what to do with that voice right there. Oh, my word. Well, we are really excited about today's conversation. We have with us today Kim Botto from Crossroads Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Kim, did I get that correct?
Yes, you pronounced my name right. And we actually have sites in Ohio and Kentucky.
That's right. That's y'all crazy. Have like 14 different locations. Is that right?
We do have multiple locations, yes.
My word. You guys are spreading everywhere. Well, Kim, we're thankful to have you on the podcast today because one of the conversations we want to have is just about how do we work with that kid?
That right? kid?
That kid.
That what kid.
Is that kid.
Here's the truth.
We all know.
We all know who that kid is. You know what?
We all know.
Kim, I'm actually looking at two of those that kids back in
we
the
were,
day.
I was a quiet kid.
Were you not that kid?
I was not that kid. Not until middle school. Then I was definitely that
then
kid.
Then you were definitely that kid.
Youth pastor's nightmare. Oh, man. I was that kid.
Truth be told, I was that kid in middle school as well. So that's all right. Well, Kim, just to maybe give some context to this conversation, I had the opportunity, the privilege of coming out to visit your church.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago. And one of the things that I saw that was impressed with was not only did you have very practical resources for your volunteers to learn how to work with kids and how to engage kids well, but as I would talk to your volunteers, they would use some of those catchphrases that you have trained them along, you know, they would use them. And so to me, that's notable. When a volunteer is repeating the things that a ministry leader is telling me, then that tells me that they have well integrated those processes into their ministry. And so that is why we wanted to have you on this podcast today, why we wanted to have this conversation with you, because you've clearly made some progress here, and we just want to learn from what you've learned along the way. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah,
it's fun. And it was fun having you, Gina. And that's huge encouragement that people are saying the same thing. And I think that just goes to common language is important.
Oh, it is. That's good.
For sure.
That's good.
Because now I don't have to say a paragraph to the volunteer. Mm-hmm. I can say five words and it resets. Or that volunteer can say it to another volunteer in the room. There's not
Absolutely.
An explanation. They know what those five words mean.
Yeah.
That's
nothing
really
delighted
good.
My heart as a ministry leader when you would walk by and hear some volunteer say something to another volunteer that was like the thing that you've been trying to say, and they're just like, oh,
right.
Oh, you get it. You understand. Listening. And you're telling right. other people, I love you.
Right. You get a little tear in your
right.
eye.
That That's right. It's like, cheek. It's today like, it's... was a win. I'm the best. And then tomorrow happens, and then it all falls apart.
Well, Kim, why don't we start here? Give us an idea. When we say how to work with that kid, you know, what would we be talking about when we're talking about that kid?
It's the kid that we work all week making major preparations on this amazing large group in fantastic small group activity. And that's the kid who constantly interrupts. It's the kid who distracts other kids in the room. It's the kid who maybe doesn't use the small group material as intended and makes something that maybe isn't appropriate.
Like a paper airplane or...
Like a paper airplane, yes, or other things. But, you know, I think it's for Kellen and Mike and well, all three of you to say that you were that kid. Man, that's something for us to consider, that kid that might be driving us nuts and interrupting with what we think is the purpose for the day, we have no idea how God's going to use that kid in the future.
Yeah.
So we want to set them up for success.
That's good.
That's really
that's
good.
Because
yeah.
it might be a little Kellen in there that's getting ready to make huge impact.
A little Kellen.
Little Kellen. Yeah, I have no idea.
I
what
it
was. That was. I meant little Kellen, like young Kellen.
Of course.
No. Oh, yeah. No.
That wasn't
no,
a comment on his stature.
Well.
Well, what you would love, Kim, is Kellen is like 9 feet tall. So
yeah, I'm really tall.
He's basically yeah.
So I think when Kellen was little, he was a head and legs.
Yeah,
okay.
And
I was. But
in elementary, what were you? 6 foot.
Ooh, no. Well, going into high school, yes.
Okay, 6 foot.
But I, Kim, I love that idea of just reinforcing, especially with leaders. Like, you know, none of us are perfect. We all had situations growing up, good, bad, and ugly. And sometimes we have to have a reminder that you weren't the person that knew all the stuff that you know now.
That's good.
Right.
You needed, so there was someone in your life that needed to give you some grace and some direction and maybe some just added love. So I love that perspective.
Yeah. I think for all of us, somebody loved us enough to see more in us or see us beyond where we currently are or were, you know. And I know that that was the case for me in middle school.
Yeah.
I needed somebody to see more than what I was putting on display, because what I was putting on display was not pleasant to be around. It wasn't great.
Well, and those people, because I was actually that kid too. Some people say that maybe I still am that kid. But it's looking beyond the behavior in the moment.
Yeah.
And reframing, like, we're not trying to get, Gina, we're not trying to get you to comply in the moment. Mm. We're actually looking at the long game. And we want to build character in you. We want to help equip you so you can do everything that God's called you to do. We're not just trying to get you to use the paper in an appropriate manner during small group.
That's good. So, Kim, when you, I mean, you had, there was a starting point for you. Obviously, you didn't get to this place overnight with a team that does just a really great job at engaging kids. So tell me, where did you start? Where would you say is a starting point for training volunteers to be able to work with challenging kids?
Well, for us, and first of all, I just want to say this is absolutely a team effort. There are a whole bunch of people that have contributed to this. It's really a change in the DNA of who we are as far as Kids Club. Okay. And the way it started is with kids from really hard backgrounds. That what we realized is, like, their behavior, they were trying to communicate something to us. And we wanted to make a place for them because they were actually being told to leave other churches. So we needed to figure out how do we respond to their behavior, because typical discipline wasn't working. And I'm talking more about kids from trauma. But really what we found is the strategies that are used for kids who've experienced trauma are excellent strategies for every single kid.
Right.
And actually, they're good with adult relationships and with our spouses. So that's
okay. Wait. So you're telling me I could use this with my husband?
Yes.
Is that what you're telling me?
And Gina. Yes.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay. I'm taking notes now. Go ahead. Keep going.
But anyway, so then we started really going to school on what's behind the behavior, how do we train people? And we do it in two parts. And one is we build up empathy among our volunteers for these kids who have challenging behavior.
Yeah.
And then we start teaching practical things, because if the leader thinks the kid is just a quote unquote bad kid, which we never use that term, never, ever, ever. You can't use that term. Right. Mm. But if that's what the volunteer is thinking, they're not even going to be open to trying new strategies.
Right.
So first they have to understand that this is just this kid trying to communicate with us, and their story didn't start the minute they walked into our room. We have no idea what happened to them on the way to church, the week before, or the years prior.
Yeah.
So it's the empathy piece. And then it's getting right into giving them a couple strategies that they can use where they'll see success, and then they'll start coming back and they'll say, okay, so now I have this situation. What do I do?
That's good. So I love the fact that you start with empathy. Like, you, the first thing you want to do is help that volunteer to look at that kid in a different light. Like, look beyond the behavior, right?
Right. And I think sometimes people who've worked with kids for a really long period of time, they sometimes are the hardest to get to change their strategies because they say, I've worked for kids for 30 years and you're going to tell me something new. To which my response is, is there anything in your life that you were doing just like you were doing 30 years ago? You know, you don't communicate with people the same way. You know, we got iPhones, we've got the internet. You don't prepare your food the same way. I mean, 30 years ago, I don't, if there was even a Chick-fil-A 30 years ago. I mean, there are so many things that are different.
The dark ages.
The dark ages, yeah. Kids are different too. So we want to, and the keeping in mind, the purpose is we want these kids to know who Jesus is and grow in their faith. And if we're really serious about that, then we need to make sure that we're creating an environment where every kid can hear about Jesus and grow. which means so we might, which means we might have to change even in our advanced state.
So can we get a little bit more granular on like where did you start? Because I imagine that when you recognize the need that in order to equip your volunteers well to be able to work with kids, then the first step is teaching them empathy. I imagine you didn't just have one volunteer and one kid. You probably had multiple kids, multiple volunteers. Where did you start with actually beginning to change the way that your volunteers looked at kids?
Well, I think it's where we started was we started telling stories of kids. Not telling their names, but telling stories of, hey, this is a kid that we have in Kids Club right now. And which helps build the empathy because leaders are going, oh, I had no idea. Kids who experienced stuff like that are here. We also told success stories. Like here's a really simple one. We talk about offer options or a choice, you know, instead of just telling a kid do this. So we had these twins who always in preschool wanted to be on the stage. Always. And which really isn't that unusual. I mean, there's a certain segment of kids that want to be on the stage and have the spotlight on them. So what we did is we offered these kids a choice, these twins, and we said, you can sit by the stage, you can either put your feet against the stage or you can put your hands on top of the stage. Which do you want to do? It changed everything. They didn't get on the stage anymore. So we communicated that story out so people could see how instead of just telling kids don't do this, if you actually give them two choices of what they can do, you can change their behavior. And for those who are control freaks and think that because they're the adult, they need to maintain control. Well, you are still in control because you're the ones that's giving the choices. So I think it's telling stories to help people to build that empathy, understand what kids may be dealing with outside the, you know, 90 minutes that we have them, and then share success stories of how these strategies have been effective.
I love that. Stories are one of the best ways to build empathy in your volunteers.
We tell lots of stories. And they have to be short enough too. They can't. You know, it's the same. I think it was you, Mike, where you said, hearing a volunteer, was it, you know, retell something you've told? And sometimes we tell it in 100 words, and then they boil it down to the 10 words that really matter. So we actually train our teams on how you tell stories.
That's good.
That's great.
Okay, unpack that more for me. You train your team on how to tell stories. You train your like key volunteers, key leaders on how to tell stories?
Well, everybody gets training because part of the training is just hearing short, concise, to the point stories over and over again. So when we send communication to volunteers about, hey, this is what's going on this week, not every week, but often we'll communicate a story in that. Or through our social media, we'll tell a story. Then as far as, you know, our staff, we actually train. We'll practice. We'll do speed dating where we're given a situation and then we have to tell a story in 1 minute.
That is awesome. So, you know, tips on how to do it, but then some real-time experience. So that you can kind of perfect the skill. But nonetheless, what you're doing is you're helping, by telling stories, you're helping the volunteer to see that kid in a different way, you know, and to understand maybe a little bit more about where that behavior might be coming from. But then you're also pairing that with practical solutions like, now tell me, what was that phrase that you just used? Because that's one that I heard when I was visiting your church. Give choices, not...
Offer an option or a choice. And see, we try to make that funny. Instead of saying offer a choice, or we say offer an option or a choice.
Oh, that's funny. I see what you did there. That's
Got it. So that's one of them.
Yeah. There's another one that I heard, connect, don't correct, or connect before you correct. Yes. Is that the right one?
Connect before you correct. Yeah. And that actually comes from Karen Purvis, who was a pioneer in working with kids who'd experienced trauma. And that's a phrase that she used all the time. So we talk about that constantly. And Gina, talking about with your spouse, that's a great one with in any relationship. So what that looks like is if you go into a room and a kid has, like a kid's working on their small group project and a kid goes and just rips it up. Instead of going in and saying, Gina, what are you doing? You can't do that. Instead we go up and say, Gina, it seems like you're really frustrated right now. Can you tell me what's going on? And then that kid that immediately forms a connection with you. Whereas if we go to the correction piece immediately,
yeah,
then that builds up a wall. So if we connect with it, and we've got a bazillion stories like that, where then by connecting with them first, we really hear what's going on. Maybe the kids had a bad day. Maybe, who knows what it is. And then you go into the correct part. You say, hey, Gina, that was Susie's paper. Kids Club is a safe place for everybody, and we can't let people destroy your stuff, and we can't let you destroy Susie's stuff. And then we come up with a way to try to make it right.
I'll say, I love all of this. Like, I'm taking notes on my computer. I'm like, oh man, I should chime in. Like, it's a podcast I'm a part of. But I have a question. What about what do you guys offer for follow-up? So a kid is being a kid and you're having to connect before you correct. What's the follow-up with that child's parents or guardians after? Yeah.
I was curious about that, because when you talked about stories and telling the stories, there's another side of that story to tell to the parent. And as a parent, if that kid is that kid at home and they know that, like, how do you, that's a great question, Kellen. So I'd be curious for you.
It depends on the situation. If it's just kind of a one-off,
right,
we won't talk to the parent.
Yeah.
If we do talk to the parent, we have guidelines. We even created a 2-minute video for volunteers on how you talk to the parents. One is you never discuss it in front of the kid. You pull the parent off to the side, so it's in private. Some of these things you would think would be just common sense, but in the moment, often it's not. So we want to take the parent off where nobody else can hear. And then we want to talk about just the facts. We don't say, Gina was so out of control. Is she medicated? Because she probably should be. You know, we don't try to diagnose.
Bad news.
Because that's actually happened where people say, my kid acts like that too, and they're on Ritalin, and you might want to think about that.
Oh, gosh.
So we say just the facts. So the facts would be, during small group today, Gina got really frustrated and ripped up another kid's artwork, and she had trouble participating. She was unable to sit in her chair. You know, so just give the facts. And then we ask the parents, we want to partner with you.
Yes, okay.
Partner is a key word we use a lot. We want to partner with you. Have you seen behavior like this at home or at school? Are there strategies that you have found are effective? How can we best help, you know, care for Gina so she can get the most out of Kids Club? That's how it goes. So it starts with not in front of the kid, private, just the facts, and then ask the parent to partner with you.
I think that's it. I mean, I'm almost speechless. I love the fact that you have a resource to train your volunteers to have that conversation. Because I think for a lot of ministry leaders who are listening today, they would say that when there's a challenge with a child in their ministry, they're usually the ones who have to have those conversations, because their leaders or their volunteers may not necessarily be equipped to do so. And you found a way to be able to give, you know, very simple guidelines and directions around how to manage that conversation. It's funny, before I visited your church, I trolled a little bit online and found your YouTube channel with all your training videos for your volunteers. And so you've got one on there that's just so practical, as how to approach a kid that seems nervous, you know, maybe they're a first time guest, and how to kind of break that barrier with them. Can you talk about what that training looks like?
I don't really remember what that training looks like. Gina, you just watched it. What do you remember from it?
I did just watch it. I didn't retain all of it. I did. I just painted myself in a corner, didn't I?
No, you're good.
I know for new kids, and I'm not sure what video it is, because we have so many that are out there now. But with a new kid, we want to get down on their eye level. We want to speak their name. It's on their name tag. We want to give them a high five, because high five communicates that Kids Club is fun. And then we want to connect them to somebody or something. So somebody might be another kid or a leader who's doing something, or something might be kids are playing jump rope or playing with Legos. Find something that kid is interested in. And then another thing with our new kids, if you're there for the first time, when you sign in, you get a slap bracelet, which, Gina, I think I slapped one on you.
You sure did.
I love those.
They're fun.
So they are. They're fun. So it immediately communicates fun when the kid gets there. And then when that kid goes to their room, because that kid has a slap bracelet on, the leader knows, oh, this is the child's first time here at Kids Club. And they're going to need some extra TLC to get acclimated and get set up for, you know, success that day.
That's really good. That's really good. And especially if you've got a kid who trends towards challenging.
Yeah.
If you've got a way to know that, hey, they just need a little bit of extra attention.
Right.
You know, a little bit of extra care, then that's going to make their experience that much better.
Right. Right.
It's really good.
So I'm curious, Kim, as far as when would you say for you guys that it cuts where, hey, this, it's not acting up one time, or like something that constitutes removal from small group room, or something from a large group time, or something where we have to call the parents. Like, I know ministry leaders are out there, like, you know, it's the one time, hey, don't do that, or however they try to do that. It's, or it's the three strikes. I'm going to give you one time, two time, then three time. Like, and what would you suggest? What do you guys do at your church as far as how you handle that situation?
Well, we have an inclusion team, formerly known as the special needs team.
Okay.
And we renamed it because really what this team is any kid that needs help being fully included in Kids Club, we'll get him a buddy. So it might be somebody that doesn't have any special needs, but they're going through a biting phase. So we need to protect others in the room. Or it might be the child's a runner. And so we need to have them with an arm's length of a leader. But if it happens over and over again, we obviously have are partnering with the parents, communicating the facts to them. Also, in the midst of communicating the facts, we're also communicating what the kid is doing well. We're always telling them, hey, even if they come in and they're super energetic, and you could say, well, they're bouncing off the walls, you could also say, wow, I love that they're so excited to come to Kids Club. They are full of energy when they walk in the room. So anyway, we if it happens over and over again, we've partnered with the parents, and then we will, if we need to, get a buddy to be with them. And then that buddy will know, oh, during the worship part of it, that music is too much for them. So they'll just go out in the hall. And they might, if it's a kid that has lots of energy, they might do relay races in the hall to burn off some energy. So then they're more set up to come in and sit down during large group. Or they might take paper out there. And I know that people are listening, they're going, yeah, right. I don't even have enough volunteers to go in the room. And now you're saying I'm going to have volunteers be one-on-one? That's never going to work. What we have found is getting people to be on the inclusion team, that's one of the easiest asks. Because I think so many of us have had situations where we just can't fit in. We don't. We feel like we don't fit in. And so people want to help kids fit in. Also, if you just say, yeah, you're going to be working with one kid. That feels a lot easier than going into a room and leaving a small group for 10, 15, 30 kids. We also, when we recruit for our inclusion team, we tell stories. And I know there was one weekend where I was doing kind of our setup for the service. And I told a story about a kid who had autism and what his one-on-one buddy meant to him. The Kids Club teams actually started saying, oh my gosh, we're getting so many people that are coming that want to sign up for the inclusion team. That's amazing. You talk about another team too?
That's amazing.
What a great problem.
No kidding.
And what happens is if you get the people that come in that do the one-on-one buddies, then the people who are in the room leading a group of 10 or 12, it's better for them too, because the kid who needs that extra attention is getting it.
Exactly. They feel more support.
Right.
I think the, again, going back to my opportunity to visit, I remember in the inclusion room talking to one of your volunteers, and they were celebrating that that one of the kids that would always start in the inclusion room, and then after the transition was over and kind of all the crazy and chaos was over, that's when he would go into his elementary environment. And yet he had worked his way up to the point to where he says to the inclusion team, no, I'm good. I'm going to go straight to my third grade small group, you know, and they were celebrating that win because of the courage that that took, you know, for this child to make that choice, you know, and to follow through with that. So,
and Gina, what you saw, I don't think any of those leaders that you were talking to were actually the one-on-one buddy with the kid, but it's a team that share stories, and then they celebrate together the success of other teammates and other kids.
That is a powerful culture to have within your team. So, I definitely took note of that. Okay, so here's what we've heard so far. The first thing that you want to do is you want to help your volunteers. You want to build empathy, but then you want to give them practical strategies. And I remember this infographic, and Kim, if we can, we'd love to include that infographic on our Facebook page so the other ministry leaders can access that. Can we make that available to?
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Do
you mind just rolling off just some of the phrases that's on that infographic that reinforce the training that you provided?
Sure. So connect before you correct and offer option or choice or two. Mm-hmm. Also the power of yes.
Mm.
When we say, think of us as adults, when we ask somebody something and they say no, that just cuts off the conversation. I mean, what are you going to do?
Right.
Whine and cry. Mm-hmm. Or so instead, like if a kid says, I want my goldfish now, or can I have my goldfish now? Instead of saying no, we can say, oh, absolutely, you can have your goldfish. I'm going to go ahead and put yours in a cup and put your name on it. And as soon as we get back from large group, you're going to be the first one to get goldfish. Mm-hmm. Or a kid who says, I want my mom now. Mm. Say, your mom, instead of saying, no, your mom's in church. She can't come now. Your mom's being fed spiritually, 2-year-old. that really makes a huge impact on them.
Yes, it does. They totally get it.
Yeah, totally. Instead, we say, your mom's coming back, and I'm going to read these 4 books, and she will be back by the time we finish these 4 books.
Mm, yeah. So you're saying yes, you're just framing it in a way that, again, it's like the choices thing. You're giving choices, but you're controlling what the options are.
Right. And you're not, you're not responding with a no.
Mm, yeah. I love that.
That's great.
I love that.
Another one that we use a lot is reduce.
Okay.
Which also works for adults. And that is, let's say a kid, we're leaving large group, we're going to small group, and they run and knock 5 kids down on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just saying, stop running, we actually coach them on what the appropriate way to leave large group and go to small group is. So we'd actually say, Mike, hey, we walk from large group to small group. Let's go back and let's do that over again.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd take them back and then we'd remind them, Mike, we're going to walk from here over to that table and you're going to sit in your chair. And then the kid walks over, they do it, and then we celebrate it. You know, we high five, we tell the other kids in the room, look what a great job Mike did. And then what we're doing is we're training them to do it the correct way. So often all we're doing is telling them how not to do it. And sometimes, even though it seems obvious to us, the kids don't know the right way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And so you're showing them the right way, but you're also allowing them the opportunity to practice the right way.
Right.
Yeah.
So when they leave that day, they know how to move from large group to small group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just did it.
Yeah. And so the next time it comes around, you have a better chance they'll do it the right way.
Right. Right. And we do that with, if somebody's frustrated and even calls somebody a name, we use the safety script where, you know, Kids Club is a safe place for everybody. I'm not going to let anybody call you names, and I can't let you call anybody names.
That's good.
And we actually had the safety script printed so that volunteers can look at it as a reminder. Because first we're reminding the kid, we want to keep you safe, and then also we're going to keep other kids safe. And then have the kid communicate instead of calling that kid name, communicate with him in a positive way.
It's the safety script. I remember seeing that on your training resources. What a simple thing to provide to your volunteers is to, here's what to say in order to communicate. Isn't that right? Here's what to say in order to communicate. This is a safe place. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, you are. Mm-hmm. So we have it printed, and then we also have a short little video. Mm-hmm. I mean, our training videos are 1.5 to 2.5 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we have a video that shows it right out too.
Can we link to those as well so that the listening audience can
I'll put those in the show notes.
That would be incredible.
Absolutely. Yes.
That's awesome. I just have to chime in and let anyone who's listening up to this point, if you have not been taking notes the last 15 minutes, rewind this podcast, listen to it again and take notes. Yeah, go in the show notes, do whatever you need to do. Because Kim, like, I literally have been, I have like a whole notes section of everything you're saying. I'm like, aww, I'm going to be a better kids master and a better leader. Thank
and
you,
And I'm
Kim.
Like, I'm going to be a better dad.
We're all crying on this end of the line.
This one is worth listening and reading the show notes as well.
This is really good because I think often we have leaders that have the heart and have the desire and the drive to lead these kids into a growing relationship with God. But when it comes to the, I like to call it like the parenting guardrails.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They kind of pump their brakes because you have that confliction of, well, you're not my kid, so I can't treat you the way I want to treat my kid, but I have a responsibility to lead and guide you. And so I think the few things of like offer option or a choice and make connections before corrections and the power of yes and redos, these are great simple tools that we can give a high school leader.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And an adult leader of how to handle kids that may, you know, be a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, it's really true. And I mean, I think that I agree with you, Kellen. You have the leader who is hesitant to discipline, but then you have the leader who says, well, I know how to take care of this situation. And they discipline as if that is their kid. And it's like, no, because that's not how, we don't want you to parent maybe the way that you would parent at home. Some of that may not necessarily be the
it falls back on the 30 years, you're a different person, and it's a different environment, and it's different kids, and it's different, you know, a lot of
things.
It's
really true. It's really true.
Well, and I'd even say these strategies are really effective with our kids. And I know some of the ways when I look, but I think, oh, I wouldn't want, the way I'm treating my kid right now, I wouldn't want to treat a kid in Kids Club that way. And then I'm thinking, oh, wait, I probably don't want to treat my kid that way. I need to change. And I think a lot of the old discipline techniques, what they do is they build a wall.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
They don't do connection. And just, I work with students too, and we were at camp. This happened last year, and it was night, and students were going back to their room, and it was kind of rainy, and there was a little utility shack, and I could see there were like six guys on top of the roof of the shack.
Of course.
And I'm thinking, you know, I'm getting ready to just tell them. And then I thought, wait, connect, free, correct. And I went up and I said, so what's going on, guys? And they were getting, they knew they were going to get yelled at, but I didn't yell at them. So they're kind of confused. And I said, well, we just wanted to see what camp looked like from up here. And I said, well, how's it look? And they go, pretty much the same as from the ground. I go, okay. And I'm like, so do you, in the rain, do you think that's a good idea to be up there? And they said, no. And I said, okay, well, come on down. So we came down, we talked throughout the week.
Yeah.
And these were young men who often required additional attention.
Yeah.
They would sit by me at lunch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They told me stuff about their home life that I never would have known if I had just gone up and said, get off that roof right now.
Mm. Yeah. Gosh, that's good.
And we still accomplished the same thing. And they never got up again. Now, throughout the week, they would look at high buildings and say, I wonder what the camp looks like from up there. And, and they'd say, but I'll never know. And I go, right, you'll never know.
That's so funny. But you connected with them. And the power of that is the thing that I think excites me the most, you know.
And that's what Jesus does. I mean,
yeah,
we don't get punished every time we do something that's wrong.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus, for treating me that way. Because I would be in timeout and being punished a lot.
Oh, we all would. No one would be interacting with anybody.
Right.
I'd be in the corner all day long.
So if we want to be like Jesus, let's look at how he interacted with sinners and how he interacted with people who weren't behaving maybe in a socially appropriate way.
Yeah.
And then try to do more like that.
And he connected. Yeah. Oh, that's really good.
And he told stories.
This is true. He did. Yeah. He was a storyteller. You're right.
Yep.
She tied it together.
I'm telling you. Full circle. Goodness, Kim. Thank you so much for doing this with us. Thanks for sharing your knowledge and experience.
So good.
One of the things that we want to do is we always want to be very practical on this podcast. And I think, man, this is definitely highly practical for the ministry leaders that are listening. So thank you for joining us and thank you for sharing what you know.
Well, thank you for inviting me. And I want to say, too, I mentioned Karen Purvis earlier.
Mm-hmm.
She has passed away, but the website Empowered to Connect has a lot of strategies for handling tough kids.
Got it. Okay. So, and what is that website?
Empowered to Connect.
Empowered to Connect. Okay. Yep. So we'll put that, throw that in the show notes.
Well. Yep.
Perfect.
Yeah. And I just want to thank you guys. I, when we were just talking before the show, I know there are so many people out there that are in kids ministry who don't have other people at their church who share their same passion for kids. Mm-hmm. And so what you're doing is you're creating a community for them. So thank you. Keep it up.
Thank you.
You might not hear it from, I know you're not hearing it for as many people that are, benefit from your podcast, but thank you.
We appreciate that. Thank you. All right. Well, that wraps up this session of Orange Kids Podcast. Listen, if you have enjoyed today's episode, if you like what you heard, then here's what we would love for you to do. We'd love for you to subscribe. You can subscribe to the podcast through your podcast app or whatever way you are listening to podcasts today. In fact, if you would leave us a review, that really does make a difference, and we would appreciate that greatly. Also, if you would connect, you can connect with us on our Facebook page, the Orange Kids Community on the Facebook page. We'd love to connect with you there, where you're going to meet other people who lead in ministry as well. So once again, thank you for being with us this week, and we will see you guys next time. You know what time it is, Kellen. It's time for you to take us out for a little ditty.
You gotta offer an option or choice to make a connection before a correction.
Wow.
Tied it in. Way to go.
That's how you do it.